And today we are going to talk about baby dedication. You know, from time to time, we have enjoyed doing baby dedication. We're looking forward to joining Jonathan and Marlene in just a little while when they get to do this again. And that's going to be a thrill for all of us. And I can't wait for that. But I think over the years that I've been here, I don't know that I've ever just sat down on a Sunday when we had a baby dedication and just preached a message about what this is all about and what we've done. But I thought this past week, as we have been through a summer of talking about walking as Jesus walks, as we've talked about walking in His footprints, that there would not be a better time to preach a message about what this is all about, because that's really what Nathan and Lindsay have committed themselves to today, to raising their son to know how to walk the way Jesus walks. These are special days in our lives. We all enjoy these celebrations. We love the new baby that's been born. We smile at the expressions on the faces of young parents as they bring their children to God's house. A lot of us think back on the times when we were just beginning our own families, the times when we were dedicating our own children to the Lord. And that's why sometimes we really need to stop and ask ourselves, what? A nice way to meet a new baby? Is this just one of those situations where we get to celebrate with a family in our church something that they've done, or is there more to it than that? I think we need to remember what we believe about a moment such as we experienced together this morning. So today I want to remind you not about what has happened, but about what it means. So let's jump in and let's look together at what the Bible has to say to us about something like baby dedication. And the first thing I want you to know is the most important thing of all, and it is this: babies are precious to the Lord. They matter to Him. In fact, Jesus was one of those people who said, "Babies are one of my favorite kinds of people," which was really unusual in His day, because the predominant attitude about babies in the time of Jesus was this: you have those babies, you raise those babies, you keep those babies quiet, you teach those babies the rules, and when they're old enough to be considered grown-ups, then we'll pay attention to them. But not till then. And then Jesus came along and He broke all of the rules and He began to talk about how precious children were to Him. In fact, I bet you this morning if I ask you to quote a scripture that Jesus said about babies, every one of us would say the same thing. "Let the little children come unto me, forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." But Jesus is not the first one to point out how precious children are to the Lord. God has always had a special love for children. In Exodus 13, long before Israel existed as a nation, God commanded His people to consecrate their firstborn children unto Him. Throughout Scripture, the Bible continually challenges the people of the Lord to love their children and raise them to know and follow God. In Deuteronomy 11, 18 and 19, once again the Bible says, "Therefore you shall lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul. You shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down, when you rise up." The Gospels tell us that one of the first things Joseph and Mary did with the baby Jesus was go just as soon as possible to present Him to the Lord in the temple at Jerusalem. What all of that means, Nathan and Lindsay, is simply this: what you've done this morning is part of a strong spiritual legacy that has existed as long as God has chosen a people. What you have done is unique to your family. And we are so excited for just the two of you. But it's part of what God has always wanted His people to do. Raise your children to know and follow Jesus. Raise your children to understand and trust God in His Word. Raise your children so that the time will come when they're ready to trust the Lord. Having said that, what I'm going to say next is going to be a little surprising, because it's this: and baby dedication has nothing to do with the baby. It has absolutely nothing to do with John Mark. In fact, Lindsay, in a little while, you and Nathan are going to put him in a baby seat, and you're going to carry him home together. And you know what's going to be different about him when you walk into the house? Nothing. Not one thing. He'll be the same little fellow he was when you walked out the door this morning. God won't love him any more than he already loves him. More than that, as hard as it is to imagine, he won't even remember this day. You're going to say, remember when Brother Jim dedicated you to the Lord? And he's going to say, who? One of the reasons that we don't practice infant baptism is because baptism follows spiritual transformation. It's because he's not ready yet to come to know Jesus. Now, he'll come to know that Jesus loves him. He'll be surrounded by parents who love Jesus, but there's nothing we can do that's going to somehow spiritually transform him or change him in any way, because baby dedication is not about him. Instead, baby dedication has everything to do with you as parents. What you've done this morning is incredibly important. You have promised the Lord you're going to raise your son in a way that will prepare him to know and follow Jesus. Here's the most incredible thing that's always true when I get to go see a new baby at the hospital. I walk into a hospital room and I look at young parents as they're holding their new child, and something brand new has happened that's never going to go away. Never forget, the first moment you held your baby in your arms, you were holding an eternal soul. From the instant he was born to live forever. Wrapped in that little body is a person who is eternal. And that eternal soul will face an eternal choice one day, because the day is coming when Jesus is going to knock on the door of his heart and call on him to trust Christ as his Savior. And the Lord has commissioned you to prepare him to hear that voice and be ready to respond. All of eternity will hang in the balance. That's why I want to say to you, leading your son to Jesus is the most important thing you are called to do. So what do you do to prepare yourself to face that moment? That's what 2 Timothy 1:5 through 7 teaches us. That's where Paul, writing to Timothy, said, "When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." What does Paul tell us to do in that passage in 2 Timothy? Several things. First thing he says is this. He says, "I call on you to pass on a legacy of faith." One of the things that made this morning so special, one of the things that's always so special in a time like this, is that families come. Your parents have come to surround you. Your families have come to surround you and let you know they support you, they encourage you, they rejoice with you as you have dedicated your son to the Lord. But especially, I think, for you all, because both of you all come from families that have always been involved in ministry. And over the years, you've watched your parents as they've led and ministered and worshiped and met the needs of countless people that they have been called on to serve. But if you ask your parents what the most important thing they have done with their life has been, they would say, preparing you to be ready to follow Jesus. They have invested their faith in you. They have taught you about Christ. They have shown you how to live and follow him. And because you all were faithful, we as a church are blessed every Sunday by the ministry of this special family. Now God's given you a command. Raise John Mark to follow Jesus. That's exactly what was happening in 2 Timothy. Paul describes Timothy's faith as something that was first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded is in you. And the language Paul uses in that phrase is a language of progression. Essentially, what he's saying is this. First, Lois became a Christian. Then Eunice became a Christian, and now you have become a Christian. What's he saying? He's saying one generation has passed on faith to the next. Every generation leads the next generation to Jesus. Today has been a living demonstration of exactly that. Your parents came to Christ, they led you to Christ, and now you are being challenged to lead John Mark to Christ. It may seem strange when he is so little to already be talking about that decision to trust Jesus, but baby dedication is about making a commitment that through his life he will be saturated in an environment of faith at home. So how do you do that? Paul uses a powerful term with Timothy. He says, be absolutely committed to demonstrating an authentic faith. Paul says it this way, I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you. What is he saying? He's saying, Timothy, when I think about you, when I think about your family, I remember how real your faith in Christ is. I remember your genuine faith. Here's something that will always be true. Other people may think they know you. Other people may think they know who you are and what you're about, but the people who really know you are the people who live in your house. Because they see you all the time in all kinds of situations. They know how you are when things are good. They know how you are when things are bad. They know how you are when everything's going your way. They know how you are when you're under pressure. They know how you are when things have broken your heart. And when you face struggles, they see you when you win and when you lose. They see you as you are. What am I saying? I'm saying you can fool a lot of people, but not the people who live with you. Those are the people who need to see how authentic your faith is. I hope you want to impress me. I hope you want to impress your family. I hope you want to impress all of these people here with your faith. But the most important person you have to impress is in your arms right now, Lindsay. And he needs to see a transparent faith. Nothing is going to be more important in the years to come than for John Mark to witness a genuine faith in you. So what is a genuine faith? A genuine faith is transparent. It doesn't pretend. It doesn't try to be something it's not. It's just open and real. A genuine faith is open. A genuine faith is honest. A genuine faith is consistent. A genuine faith is worthy of imitation. How do I know how to raise my son? Well, you've already found out that you don't know a lot yet. There are decisions you've had to make and there are situations you've encountered. And I want to tell you something. It's going to be that way for years to come. There are going to be times when you're trying to figure out what to do. But this is what I want to say to you. Live your life and raise your son in such a way that years from now, when John Mark has children of his own, and he's telling them about you, he's talking about your walk with Jesus. He's talking about all of my growing up life. My folks were real. I didn't see one person in front of the church and another person in the walls of our house. I saw a dad and a mom who truly walked with Jesus and taught me how to walk with him too. There's a special way you make that happen. You see, your faith has to be an active faith. Paul reminded Timothy to stir up the gift that is in you through the laying on of my hands. Stir up your gift. Paul said something really interesting. He said, and that happened through the laying on of my hands. Was Paul saying that through his touch, his physical contact, God did something supernatural in Timothy's life? No, I don't think so. I think what Paul was saying was this: Timothy, I have been actively involved in your life. I have taught you how to know the Lord. I have taught you how to share the Lord. I have taught you how to lead in the Lord's name. I have been committed to you. That's why he described Timothy as a beloved son in verse 2. One thing should always be true about raising a family. It is a hands-on job. It's not something you can do from a distance. You can't decide, I like this part, but I don't like this part. I'll do this part, but I don't want to do that part. Even dirty diapers, Nathan. You got to be a part of it all. You have to be an active parent. But now listen to me. Most people believe that is true. Most people believe in hands-on parenting. They believe in taking care of their children physically and socially and academically and athletically. If your child is playing something, you're there. If they have an exam, you help. If they're in a program, you're in the audience. You're always there for them. Make sure you're just as actively committed to John Mark's spiritual growth. Because sometimes that's where a lot of parents draw the line. A lot of parents say, of course I'll be there for my kid when he's got to study for a test. Of course I'm going to be there when he's got a game to play. Of course I'm going to be there to make sure he's growing up and well-rounded. And I want to make sure that my daughter and my son are becoming exactly who they need to be. And then you say, so what about spiritually? And too many parents will say at that point, no, that's not really my job. That's the job of the Sunday school teacher. That's the job of the youth minister. That's the job of the pastor. Somebody else can talk to my child about Jesus. That's just a little too personal, and that's just a little too spiritual. And that's just not my job. Listen to me. God's plan is that the primary spiritual influence in every child's life should be found at home. Listen again to God's commandment from Deuteronomy. He says, therefore, you shall lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul. You shall teach them to your children, speaking to them when you sit in the house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You. Not one time does it say somebody else. Somebody who knows more. Somebody who can quote more scripture. Somebody who's being paid to do that. It says you. Who does God hold accountable for the spiritual well-being of your son? You. As your church, we'll be here to surround your family. As a ministry staff, we'll do everything we can to teach and challenge and support you. We rejoice with you when your child comes to know Christ. But when that day comes, you need to know he learned it from you. The only people who are challenged to raise him up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord are you. And the others of us who are in this room today who have children. It's all about you. That's God's challenge. So what is God challenging you and all our parents to be committed to today? He wants you to pass on a legacy of following Jesus. He wants you to let your life be a transparent window of faith that your children can see. He wants you to be active in helping them to know and follow Jesus. And on this day, when you have dedicated your son to the Lord, to live for that day when you can look backwards and hear the Savior say to you, well done, good and faithful servants. You have raised my child to know and follow me. And that's God's call on our lives. To raise our children to know and follow Jesus. To make sure that when they hear his call, they're ready to respond. Today has not been a very evangelistic sermon, but let me tell you something. If you're here and you don't know Jesus, you need to understand more than anything in the world, He wants you to be His child. He wants you to receive Him and trust Him so you can be adopted into His family. And everything in the Bible says God is reaching out to you so you can trust Him and follow Him as your Savior. And if you're here today and you don't know Him, just a moment, we're going to be singing an invitation hymn, and I'm going to be here at the front, and Rich is going to be up here. And if you need to know Jesus, you come and find one of us. Don't worry about what other people may be thinking or whether it's going to be a little self-conscious. You just come because we want to help you to come to know Jesus. Or maybe you're here and you're recognizing that following Jesus, part of His plan for you is that you want to plant your family in this place. Whether it's a family of one or a family of three or a family of five, plant your family so that you, like this couple, can raise your children to know the Lord in an atmosphere and an environment where they're going to hear the Word and they're going to know what it means to follow Christ. Maybe there's another decision you need to make. We're going to stand, we're going to sing. As you need to come, you come. Let His Holy Spirit guide you. Let's stand together. Let's sing.